Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 8th day of February 2024. And tonight behind the glass cage over there, our producer is none other than Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And live in here where I can keep a close eye on them, okay, we have Radical Randy.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
And Leaping Lizards Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
These three are here prepared to throw their bodies in front of me to save me from an assassin's bullet if necessary. You hear that, you Democrats? They are here, willing to carry me bodily out of a burning building, if necessary. And it would take all three of them and maybe more to do that, okay? But we're here to let you know. And then way out yonder, we have a Pastor Hal calling in tonight. He's calling in early. Maybe he's confused.
Good night.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Maybe he's going to call in and give the invitation in the beginning of the program instead of the end. But anyhow, and then all the way out yonder in San Diego, California, we have from the Urban Youth Collaborative, none other than Dr. Nate Landis. Hey, Dr. Nate.
Good evening. Good to hear everybody's voices. Nice to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
We may sound a little strange, but don't worry. You're safe. So, anyhow, we have a whole lot to get into tonight. So we're going to start right over there in God's Word, the Bible, and Book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. So, Randy, would you read? Let's take it a couple verses, a verse or two at a time.
Okay, we'll do it two at a time. Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
Well, okay, so who do we know that the door is who?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the door. Now, those that try to come up in another way, there are those out there today, like, for example, there are those that teach that repentance is not necessary. The Word of Faith movement, that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Is that what the Bible teaches?
No.
Of course not.
Okay. Hal, you and Nate, you guys jump right in. If you have to comment, just jump right in.
Well, Luke 13:3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. So that was his very first message.
I know. Now, verse 3. Read verse 3.
Sure. To him that, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when
Now let me ask you this, because who was the porter opens the door for the shepherd? Now we know Jesus was the shepherd. Who announced Jesus?
Who announced him? Well, the angels.
No, John the Baptist.
Okay.
So John the Baptist was the porter here. Go ahead.
Okay. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You want me to keep? Okay. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
Okay. Now who's he talking to right here? Who is he talking to? He's talking to the sheep are?
The sheep are believers.
Well, they're the nation of Israel here. He's talking about those in Israel, the believers, the faithful in Israel. And now he's making a point. What is the voice? The voice that they know. What were they taught? The Old Testament, the prophets? Who was it that gave Moses the law?
Well, Jehovah God, we'll say, gave Moses the law.
Right. Well, it was the Lord Jesus. Whenever the word the Lord is used, it refers to Christ. But God the Father gives the marching orders. God the Son always carries them out. And Holy Ghost provides the power. So he says they'll know his his voice. So if he comes speaking the truth of the word of God, and what did people say about the Lord Jesus when he spoke?
Spoke with authority.
He spoke with one of authority, right, and not like the scribes and the Pharisees.
With authority, and no man ever spoke like this man, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Okay, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You want me to keep? Okay. All that ever came before me all are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.
Now, he's referring to, were there a number of false Christs that came even before him?
Yes.
There were a number of them. Okay. But go ahead.
Okay. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might, have it more abundantly.
Now let me ask you this, and Dr. Keith, any of you guys can answer when he's talking about life more abundantly. Was he talking about material possessions, or was he talking about the abundance of grace?
The abundance of grace, yes. Life in the Spirit, in Christ, and the fullness thereof on the earth, if you will.
What about the Prosperity Church? What are they talking about? What's Joel Osteen talking about?
Get yourself now.
He's talking about nothing, really, is what he's talking about.
But he says, he says, live the good life now, now. What about T.D. Jakes? What does he say? Get your stuff now. Get your stuff now. So Jesus said, did he say put it up in the material things up here on earth, or did he say place up your crowns in heaven?
Wasn't it Victoria that said that it's about us?
Yeah. She said it's not about God, it's about us.
It's about us, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth them, the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep.
Okay, let me ask you this, too. Okay, now, today we have increasing persecution all around the world. But we have, God has raised up a few bold preachers. Now, what happens in our church, the church that I pastor, if they come after one of the people in the church, if we have corrupt politicians or corrupt cops, like over the years we've had, we had to deal with a lot of dirty cops. Now, we had, praise God, it was the good cops, the clean cops that had our back, okay? But what does the shepherd do when when the wolves come after the people in the flock, does he tuck and ride it? Run, or the shepherd does what?
The shepherd is to stand up and give his life, if necessary, for the protection of the sheep.
That's exactly what a shepherd is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So what do you have today, especially in neo-evangelicalism?
Well, come on, hirelings. They put new meaning to when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Right.
Because they go away, is what they
do. So it's symbolism over substance, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Read on.
Okay. Okay, I am the good shepherd, and knoweth my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and excuse me, and shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Okay, who are the other sheep?
He's referring
to specifically.
Yes,
that's right, the Gentiles. Huh?
Us now. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Okay, when the Lord Jesus would. Peter says, you know, we got to fight. And what did he tell him? He said, look, could I not call 12 legions of angels and have them here? All it needed one, but could I not call 12 legions of angels? He was making a point. What did he tell Pontius Pilate? Okay. He made the point that you would have no authority
over me.
Okay. Had it not been given to you by my Father. Now,
right.
Because he was brought there for the purpose of laying his life down. And who took it up? He took it up again. Okay, so, all right, very good. We're going to stop right there.
And then, obviously, the crucifixion of Jesus was no accident or tragedy, but this was ordained by God.
Well, remember, God is a holy God,
right.
And he demanded you had to have a perfect and sinless sacrifice. The only one to fit the bill was Christ. If Christ had said no, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
Yes.
We wouldn't be here right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, anyhow, we're gonna be talking about the Urban Youth Collaborative, what has taken place out yonder in California. So tell us, Nate, tell us all about what happens there, what is going on now with the clubs and all.
Absolutely. We have the privilege every day of watching thousands of kids in Southern California in public schools, and now we're spreading throughout the country and also in Mexico, have Bible studies, just like the conversation we're having right now around Scripture. Student leaders in public schools, this is one of the best-kept secrets in our country, and I'm trying to change that so it's not a surprise for pastors and for principals to know what the law really says in our nation and what's possible. We see kids every week gathering by the thousands in different clubs at close to 80 different schools. These are public middle schools and high schools, federally funded, and young people get to invite their friends in a Christian club that they've started during non-instructional time. And if it's voluntary to attend, that means no kids getting penalized or extra credit for going, then they can serve physical and spiritual food to their friends who are literally starving for the truth and the bread of life. We've talked about life to the fullest in Christ tonight, and many kids are getting lured away into other things that are promising them life, but in the end just lead to death and more heartbreak. And the Lord is on the move. There's a generation in public schools that a lot of people have sort of thought was a lost cause because of all the wild curriculum and all the other agendas in public schools. But I'm here to say tonight, God hasn't forgotten public school students. And in fact, he's doing a special movement to win middle school and high school students back to Jesus. And we get to see it every day. We build.
People are going to say, look, California? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You have out there, you have Governor Newsom out there. You have the woke movement. You have communism. Well, you've got every strange, weird thing you can imagine when they refer to it as a land of fruits and nuts, okay, out there. Here, and yet, now, I know that you had to have a battle going in on this, and I know that you had to probably fight some of these fights in court, did you not?
We've had one particular case where two very brave, courageous middle schoolers had to threaten a federal lawsuit against their school district for religious discrimination because the school district wasn't allowing the students to have the club. They were continuing to deny the application. They were just sort of bullying and discriminating against these students. And so we have a lawyer that does pro bono work for us. God bless his soul. And he wrote a complaint that got shared with the district. And basically, right before it got filed, the district backed down and realized that these kids know the law. They've got good legal support. They really want this to happen. And the law and the Lord are on our side. So even in California, federal laws are still true. And even in California, the Holy Spirit's power still is greater than the forces of darkness. And so it's an experiment for us to watch kids stand their ground and know the authority they have in Christ, and then also the authority they have in America, even as a student. If a kid wants to share his faith and invite friends to a club and start this thing, if the school allows any other club to meet, they have to allow the Christian club to meet. It's called the Equal Access Act. Everybody gets equal treatment. And once those clubs are set up that way, they can be attacked, but they can't be stopped. And I always love watching the courage of young people who stand up for their faith and who are able to go public and watch God use them at an early age. God doesn't check IDs and doesn't require people to be 25 before he uses them. Sometimes we say children are our future, and they are. I agree with that. But youth aren't just the church of the future. Youth are the church today, and we're able as a ministry to equip kids and send them into places where they get to discover what they're capable of with the resurrection power of Jesus inside of them, and it's life-changing, and it's thrilling to watch. And a lot of people don't know it's possible. You mentioned California, and when I travel, people ask me, what's it like to be a pastor in California? It's almost like they're surprised there are Christians left in California. And there are people that read their Bibles in California and follow Jesus, and we just have to find each other and stick together. And the light shines brightest sometimes when it's the darkest outside, and the light light works best when the photons find each other. And so when these kids find each other in public schools, then they're able to stand together and the darkness has to flee. Anytime we turn on a light, light always wins. Jesus says we're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And I never go into my bathroom to shave in the morning and turn on the light and have the darkness go into the light bulb and explode the light bulb. Every time the light turns on, the darkness has to flee. So the kids have this incredible power of Jesus inside them. And as long as they don't hide their light under a bushel, then it shines brightly and people are drawn to it. And if God started us off, I started this ministry 15 years ago in California, and now we've expanded to Washington State, Georgia, South Carolina, and we have some work going on in Northern California. I dropped pizza off for a club today at a local high school in Northern California, and just outside of Sacramento. And there were 45 students there who heard the gospel. They invited a youth pastor in to share. And then they were able to talk about next steps for church attendance. So we're building a bridge between the church and the school. And it's all possible. I think God started us in the tough environment of California so that when we spread around the world and around the country, we're not going to be intimidated by anything because we've seen it all. We've really had a district come after us. We've had individual principals try to bully kids, and It hasn't stopped us. In fact, the persecution, just like the early church, just makes us stronger and more fruitful.
Well, you know, absolutely. And courage is contagious, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
One of the sometimes every now and then you'll see one person will stand up and just say no, okay? And Solson Easton some years ago was talking about, we've been around for a while, and he was saying how he was telling a story about there on Red Square when the KGB would come for people and they were so used to not doing anything, not resisting. One day they came for a woman, and a woman said no, and she resisted, and she fought back. And some of the men saw that, and they started picking up shovels and sticks, and they went after the KGB. And there was and from that point on, there was the start of the falling of the Communist Party there. And of course, you know, we see that Russia split up, but it was the courage was contagious. Today, our children, I can tell you, listen, it's got to be awful hard for a child. When I grew up, the vast majority of the people were married. When I grew up, divorce was maybe 20%, okay? Today, for every marriage, there's at least one divorce. And it's really gotten harder. And on the children, Nate, I mean, these children, they have a very, very rough time coming up today. And they need all the help they can get. And they, of course, that's where we should come in. We've got to help these children in so many different ways. And today, you have so many of them have come from one-parent homes. So many. And even where I live in probably one of the wealthiest counties in the state, but even in that county, you have a number of homeless children that sleep in crawl spaces and in garages and barns because their home environment is so hostile. And so we really got to do something, shouldn't we?
Can I ask a question? Can you give us like a hypothetical situation on how this thing starts and kind of take us from, you know, from A to Z, you know, just an overview. So let's say that I've got, I don't know, we'll say George Washington High School. And so how do I start at George Washington High School and end up with the club there? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm with you. Yes. We usually have three different paths to answer your question. The first would be to try to find student leaders that are genuinely interested in going to school with a purpose, more than just getting the grades to get into college and getting a cute date to prom. They're interested in going to school saying, I'm with peers who are deciding their eternal destiny, and 80 to 90% of people that come to Christ, depending on who you read, come to Christ before age 18. So by the time a kid's walking across the stage to get their diploma, most of those people have decided their eternal destiny. And there's glorious exceptions to that. And I'm thrilled anytime anybody comes to Christ after that point. But for kids that are willing to say, I'm on duty and assigned to a school, and I'm not just here because of my zip code, my parents live in this neighborhood, but God's assigned me to go to this school because there's people here that won't meet Jesus if I don't represent him as an ambassador. Every morning I drop my kids off and we pray that they'll be ambassadors for Christ in their public school. So I will go to a youth pastor or try to find some. If you have people in the church, raise their hand and say, who's connected to this high school? There's probably someone who's either a parent or a student or a principal or a teacher or a business nearby or a vendor at the school. And finding a student that has that perspective and then getting them together with a group of other kids who are interested in doing it together, because one kid alone might feel like they're not the next Billy Graham. God might have a higher view of them than they do at that point in terms of what he can do with them. But they just have to be willing to say yes and find a couple other students that would be interested. So that's sort of path one. Path two is, if there aren't any students available, then we can do a facility rental agreement. And this is something true across the country, where a school district will rent to the YMCA or the Boys and Girls Club. They can rent to Urban Youth Collaborative and then, or another faith-based group. And then we, for a very nominal fee, usually $10 a year or free, can rent a classroom after school. And then we do an after-school club. And any kid that stays there is able to go through a program like this. If both options are not working, then the third choice would be to do a community service project and serve the school in a way that meets a tangible need that they have, and through that build trust and relationship. One story we had was in San Ysidro, which is the southernmost county of San Diego.
Hold that story, Dr. Keith. We'll be back right after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. In the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king. No king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
No king but King Jesus. You hear that, Joe Obama Biden? Alrighty, got a quick announcement to make. Tactical civics. We want to take our country back, one nation under God. And we want to do it. We want to restore the honor and the integrity and the legitimacy to our judicial system. It has become so corrupted. And one of the ways we're doing that across the country right now is through tactical civics. And folks, right here in the Northeast Ohio, well, if you just go to tacticalcivics.com, go up on the internet and read tacticalcivics.com. But tomorrow night in for Northeast Ohio, there in Geauga County, there's going to be a tactical civics meeting, and that's going to be held at the Ransom Sage Farm, and that's going to be at 7 p.m., and there's going to be an introduction seminar there, taking America back. One county at a time is the theme. For more information, you can call Bill Wilds at 907-723-9839. I'll give that to you again. I know a lot of people running around saying, I got to get a pen. Let me find a piece of paper. Okay. 907-723-9839. And I wanted to say this, too, because last night's radio program, when we talked about the kill shot, the mRNA, and the graphene, where it was changing the DNA in some people. And when I was talking about that as a mutation, that what happens there, some people misunderstood that, and they thought I was telling them they were no longer humans. No, I'm not telling you you're no longer humans, okay? God wouldn't let that happen, right? You were made in God's image. And so, but anyhow, so just, I just wanted to make that clear about what we were saying. One other thing, very quickly before we get back to our program with Dr. Nate here, is that the newsletter, folks, we get more and more letters every day. Today I was reading several letters from people thanking us for our newsletter. The information that they get in there, they would not have known these things had not we told them. And so, in fact, one of the things in the newsletters we did a year or two ago was right there in San Diego, where in the public school system, they were teaching Islam. And the young girls had a dress wearing their habibs and the prayer rugs, and the people didn't know it. The people didn't know it, but this radio program, had we not announced it, because the kids were told not to tell their parents, not to mention it, and then we put it right in the newsletter, and then we got several responses back from parents saying, thank you. Now, I want to go back, and we have here from Urban Youth Collaborative. Nate, for years and years on this program, we were telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public schools because of cultural Marxist indoctrination. And I was one of the pioneers for the homeschooling movement. And it's an interesting thing because here now, our opposition wants, in Ohio, they want to start paying the children to go to school. They want to pay the children to go to school because there's so much truancy. And one of those legislators actually came out and said, "If how are they ever going to learn which bathroom to use, okay, or which gender they are if they don't go to school?" Well, you see, these knuckleheads don't realize that's one of the major reasons that people are pulling their children out of the public schools, because of this wokeness out there. But let me ask you this, Nate, because here, when we send... I had a pastor tell me one day, if we don't send our children into the public schools to witness to those kids, how are we ever going to reach them? And my response was this: look, all the authority figures in there are taking the opposite view. And instead of your children reaching those people in there, it's going to work in the opposite direction. And I've seen that happen time and time again, from people where children were raised in a Christian home and they were sent to public education and come back, they have just lost all of their faith. So how do you prepare that? When you go into these schools, should you not have some adults that are really grounded in the faith overseeing this whole thing?
We view the most effective campus ministry as one that has a partnership between caring adults. That can be a youth pastor, that can be sometimes a senior pastor or a key volunteer at a church, or a faculty advisor. There are lots of Christians in disguise in public schools that are there, and once they realize there's a Bible club, or there's another teacher that's attending this, or there's a movement of believers out of school, then they'll start drawing the fish in the sand, as the early church did, and sort of let down their hair and share their identity as well as a Christian. And so adults and students together in partnership are able to not just stand their ground, but have influence against the cultural current. They're able to stand, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to stand together because they found each other. And despite all the pomp and circumstance of the culture making noise and worshiping something else, these three leaders and Hebrew boys in a foreign country were able to stand their ground because they found each other. So we do need adults to support them. That's why Urban Youth Collaborative feels like we have a vital calling, because we're helping churches engage with the students that are there. And yes, there are stories of kids that get swept away by the current, but if they find each other and they realize salt and light wins, every time we put salt on meat, the meat always gets saltier. The salt never gets meatier. We have the power of Christ that is more influential than the power of darkness. And I think they just need to be awakened to the power of Christ inside of them and the influence that they have. And the truth remains that the vast majority of kids, even after COVID and homeschooling increasing and so on, are still in public schools because of the financial realities of not being able to afford private school tuition or not being able to have a homeschool environment just because of the economic model at home with two working parents or maybe one guardian and a single mom. And so homeschool is not an option for a lot of kids either. And so we have to say, as believers, what do we do with the 50 million plus kids in our country that are in a public school? Does Jesus still care about them? What would Jesus say to them if he could have a conversation with a kid in America's public schools? And that's what UIC is helping the church to engage and to think about and to see the power in, actually, that their students are able not just to survive but to thrive when they have to stand up for their faith. There was an experiment done by a group of scientists, and they created a biosphere that had all the artificial recipe ingredients needed for life. There was perfect soil. There was wonderful sunlight. There was water. There was plant food. There was all of these ingredients for life. And almost all the trees and plants in the biosphere died despite all of that. And the reason they died was because they didn't have any wind in the biosphere. The wind blowing against the trees made the roots go deep, so that they could find nourishment and strength and survive amid all the crosswinds of the current and the culture. And I think if Christian kids in a public school are able to stand their ground and really make a stand for Christ when the winds are blowing against them, saying, bow down, give up, surrender, think a different way, all truth is up for grabs. There is no truth. If they're getting all of that blown at them, their roots are going to go deeper if they have an opportunity to stand for Christ. And it's actually going to make them stronger, not weaker, if they are willing to persevere and let the strength of God flow through them.
You know, now, right now, all across the country, we have people listening, and you probably have a number of parents, young parents, that have children in the public school out there.
Yeah.
And they're saying, boy, this really sounds like something we like to do in our school. Our school could use this because,
yes,
especially now because of the movement. You noticed in the 2020 election or the 2022 election, where it looked like we lost all around except for one area where the Christians, the conservatives, picked up. We won a lot of, and that was school board. We went across the country a lot of on the school boards. So now we kind of have some momentum in that area. And so for those folks that are saying, well, you know, I'd like to do this, but I'd like to get some help. I want someone to walk me through this. How can they get in touch with you guys?
We have a website that is really simple to remember. It's
three letters. It's UYC.org. It stands for Urban Youth Collaborative. We work in rural areas, too. Anywhere that there's a group of people that want Christ to be made known, we are excited to work with them. We were born in a city, but we work everywhere that believers are, that want to influence their culture. So UYC.org is our website. And right before the break, we were talking about the different paths of how to get started. And I talked about a student-led club, talked about a facility rental agreement. The other option is acts of service. And I'll try to be brief with the story. We had a school district in Southern California, right on the border with Mexico, that had a 5,000 student presence in this district. And they had 9 schools. They only had 3 gardeners for 9 schools. So there were weeds and trash everywhere. And it was just heartbreaking to see these kids. A lot of them were 25% of the student body in this district, either struggled with homelessness or was couch surfing, living in cars. It was a really difficult place to grow up and go to school. But these courageous students continued every day facing that challenge. And so I had the privilege of coordinating 2 years of beautification work. And we brought 250 volunteers. We painted curbs. We cut weeds. We mulched and made the school look beautiful, so kids felt like they were valuable when they showed up. It was a nonverbal message of affirmation. And then after 2 years of beautification work, the principal allowed us to do a motivational school assembly for the whole student body. And our message in the assembly has to be character-based, and we have to be a little more careful with our language, but we can still say biblical principles that are worth saying. We just can't cite the Bible references because it's a assembly. But then after the assembly, we're high-fiving kids, and it went really well, talking about overcoming obstacles in the way of their dreams. The next week, we got a phone call. We got a phone call from that same principal, and he said, "I don't know if you've been watching the news." It's a horrible opening line to get from a principal phone call. But he explained that one of the students who was an eighth grader was in Mexico over the weekend at a family reunion, and armed gunmen with masks came into their house and separated the women and children into one room and separated the men into another room. And this guy was in eighth grade. He went with the men into the kitchen, and he lost his life execution style, along with 4 other members of his household. Some of the guys played dead and survived. "Can you come back to our school and facilitate a memorial service for us?" And so then I found myself back at the same school 1 week later, same auditorium, same day of the week, one less kid. The superintendent's there, all the principals are there, and they handed me the mic. And they said, "Would you lead us in a memorial service for this young man, because we miss him and love him so much?" So then I was invited into this moment of heartbreak and tragedy. The family's right in the front row. I was honored to be invited, but I also was heartbroken to be there. And after leading that community in a memorial service, that principal allowed us to do a student-led faith club at that school. And we had 95 kids a week coming every week for 2 years. And it started with community service that led to a school assembly, and it led to a Bible club. And we have all of these strategies and classes available for churches that want to do this, for student leaders that want to do this, and any adult who cares that wants to mentor someone else. If they're a grandparent, a parent, your own kid might be doing well, but somebody else's kid might really value a surrogate mom or dad in the faith. We've got all of that available on our website. I've got courses that lead people through. It's in video form. It's also in written form. There are 4 different books you can order that tell the story of why we need to do this and how to do it. And if cost is an issue, just email us on our website. I've got a coupon code. We'll be able to give a discount or cover all the costs if needed. We just want to get more workers out into the harvest fields because the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, and these kids are so hungry for the gospel. I took Bibles in to war-torn areas of Croatia and handed them out. There was a break in the conflict when I was just right out of high school. I got to go to a war-torn country and distribute Bibles. I've taken boxes of Bibles into public schools, and there's even more hunger from these kids than there was in a country ravaged by war, because there's a spiritual war going on in our country where kids are looking for life in all the wrong places, and they need to find Jesus, the Good Shepherd, like we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast. And kids walk up to me going, can I have a Bible for my friend? Can I have one for my brother? And we ran out of Bibles as fast as we ran out of burritos, because kids are hungry, not just for physical food, but the bread of life. And once they are given that opportunity, they're eager for it. They're hungry for it. That's what I hope more churches realize, is that young people are spiritually hungry, spiritually searching, and whoever gets there first will win. If the evil one, the thief who wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy, gets there first and promises life where there is no life, then when you compare it to no other invitation, kids are going to take that. But if we can show them life to the fullest in Jesus is possible, he alone is the bread that satisfies a soul. Eat anything else, you'll be hungry and ashamed and wanting the minute after or the morning after. But if you feast on the bread of life, then you'll be satisfied now and forever. And that's what I want to do more of. I want to see more people at the doors of public schools handing out the bread of life so kids can cross over from life to death. And that's what UIC is about. That's why I started this, and that's why I continue every day to make it possible for kids to hear about Jesus. Because every day when we wake up and he hasn't come back yet, it's another opportunity for us to spread the good news. He's left us here on purpose.
And boy, I'm going to tell you, it's more important right now than it's ever been, because there's never been so much biblical illiteracy today as there is in the country. And again, the largest religion now in America is atheism. Atheism now.
Right.
But, of course, the Lord Jesus talks about there being that remnant. But we are to go out. He gave us that great commission, and that's first and foremost. My brother was a part of running for years, he's been running a orphanage in Mexico called the Vision Mission, and we work with him about once a year. He comes back up here, and we come and we try to raise some more funds. But he tells me how it's unbelievable with the, it used to be where he was at out there, they had the most excitement they would have maybe if one of the farmer's bulls was to get loose and run down the main street. But now the drug cartels have moved in, and at nighttime you can hear gunfire. So they have to be very protective. The young boys there, they have to make sure that the drug cartels can't find them, because they recruit them for the gangs, and they recruit the young girls for prostitution. And so here, he was telling me how sometimes there, where one of these gang members will take one of these young mothers, Mexican women, and say, look, you got three kids, I'll let you keep one of them, you've got to get rid of the other two if you want to stay with me. And they'll abandon them. He said there's been times how they just leave the kids sitting side of an old dusty dirt road and abandon them to save one, but let two go. And they pick these kids up, these children up, and they give them a good Christian upbringing there in Mexico.
Wow.
And so, but this is what we have to do. And here, right here in the state of Ohio, is one of the highest amounts of child sex trafficking in the country, right here in the state of Ohio. And, you know, we're always watching anything that we can do. We find out about it, we're going to go after them. We're going to go after them. And so, anyhow.
Yeah, every soul is a battleground, and the devil is at work recruiting and filling vacuums and taking brokenness and turning it in on itself, and Jesus is coming along, healing and restoring and redeeming and transforming lives. And I want more kids to make it to Jesus and fewer kids to get swept away by the work of the enemy.
Absolutely. We're coming up to a break, and then after that break, I wanted to, real quickly, though, maybe we'll, if you want to stay with us, we take some phone calls. Would you want to do that?
Be happy to.
All righty. I wanted to say right now, though, the Biden regime moves in J6 political prisoners. Jake Lang, you folks have heard Jake Lang on this radio program call in many times. He's a political prisoner. He's in one of the dirty D.C. jail. Jake has been in that jail now for over 1,000 days, over 3 years. He's never had a trial. He's never had a trial. He's never had a hearing. And he's spent there 3 years, and now what they've done is they've taken him because he protests, because he comes on his radio program, was able to find a way to get through to us, and we put him up. And so now they've taken him, and they put him in the worst part of the jail, the worst part where you have the worst inmates out there. And they usually do that with the idea maybe something bad will happen to them. Now, I've got some phone numbers for you folks. If you would do this, write these down. It's U.S. Marshals. You need to call. Please call and make a complaint about the retaliation and cruel and unusual punishment they are doing to Jake and the other 60 J6ers. These are heroes, folks. These are patriots. They're all, these people, the ones I know, are all Christian patriots there. And so the numbers would be, this is the U.S. Marshal. You call and say, look, you know, why are you treating these people? You know, the whole country knows what you're doing there. Why are you, they are political prisoners. There is no fair justice. We do not have a Department of Justice anymore. There is no legitimacy there, none. You know, I think I'll wait till after the break to give the numbers out. But I called a few years back the Justice Department there when we had our, when John McTurner and I had our big battle with the War Department, because they said the Christians were not to, should not be able to serve in the military because our allegiance was to Christ and not to the United Nations, so the New World Order. And that was a part of the new statement. So I called, and we started having negotiations with the people in the War Department and the Pentagon. But anyhow, so I called the Justice Department, and I talked to some of their lawyers, and I asked them, do you know, I think they have like 1,900 lawyers there. And I asked them, do you know of any Christians? Are there any Christians that you know of there? And they told me, well, because I talked to them, they said, let us ask around and see what we can find out and call us back. So we give them the time, and they call back, and I talked to the same guy, and he said, well, we asked around here, and no, we don't have any Christians here. And so there's your Justice Department. It kind of tells us the spiritual condition of our country, especially in Washington, D.C., huh? So
we have a system that's easier and better to be guilty and rich than poor and innocent. And there's a lot of inconsistencies in our justice system, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is illegitimate. We're going to go to a break. When we come back after the break, I'll give these phone numbers out, and folks, they need you there. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.